I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is City Councilman Jim Holmes. Jim represents District 5 on the council, and in addition to being a financial wonk, he's also an adventure junkie. He recently traversed the entirety of the Mississippi River via jet ski to raise money for the Doris Miller Memorial Fund. But before we get to that conversation, it's time for a new small business spotlight presented by American Bank.
As you might have noticed, tourism has become big business for this little town on the Brazos. Over 2.6 million visitors are expected this year, and a ton of them are staying overnight. 83% of the city's hotel rooms stay booked, and that gives Waco the highest hotel occupancy rate in the entire state of Texas. I personally have been curious about how these visitors experience the city. Do they hop on the silo trolley and check out downtown, or maybe thumb a ride for a Waco Tours van and see some of the city's historic neighborhoods? Increasingly, visitors are wanting to see a wilder side of Waco, and whether it's because of his memorable personality or the sheer size of his rig, they know exactly who to call. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, shining the small business spotlight on Waco River Safari.
Guys, welcome aboard. I'm Captain Ryan. This is Waco River Safari. Thank you guys for coming out. We are doing a little sunset cruise this evening. Let's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Well, we do a safari theme. Well, the whole thing is like a historical lesson of downtown, which anyone can do. But, you know, we do a safari theme. We go up to the Bosque. We do some sightseeing. So, you know, we can name the birds. We'll go out there and find the beavers and the beaver dens and stuff like that. So, you know, just getting out there and seeing animals is kind of our little niche. So typical, you're going to see turtles, snakes, deer, hogs, hawks, all that Texas critter. You're going to see that. Recently, we have found a bobcat den that is just right off the river, and we are seeing a family of bobcats pretty regular now. So my family owns a little piece of property in Axtell, so that's kind of how I know Waco. I am from Dallas. I grew up hunting and fishing. I was actually trapping wild hogs and selling them wholesale for a while. Certainly didn't make a whole lot of money out of that, but I fishing and hunting, that's pretty much what I love. And after high school, I spent most of my 20s in the oil field. I've been in West Texas, Midland, driving a truck, do it for a while. 100-hour weeks gets pretty old. I wanted a life transition. I wanted to have more fun. So I started looking at buying a boat and doing boat tours in Waco. Take away the tours, I'm actually a river guy. I love boats. I love the river. And me and my buddy take canoe trips from Waco to College Station on the Brazos every year. So if I can make money on a river, you know, I'm doing what I love. It's fun. I think that's the ultimate goal. Group W Bench is a litter cleanup nonprofit in Waco. We started talking about trash on the river. Long story short, we have now put trash cans throughout the river, and we do monthly cleanups on the river, and it is fantastic. We just reached our 100,000 pounds of trash just as of a few days ago. Now it's cleaned up. I get a lot of compliments from customers how clean the river is, so I like it. Best part is getting to be your own boss, and if you see an opportunity or you want to try something, you literally can just do it. You take the initiative, you do it, and if it's successful, you get the rewards. That's probably my favorite thing, opposed to having a job where you're just a W-2, you clock in, you do your job, you clock out, you really have no say in anything. That's probably the most self-gratitude I get right there.
Thanks to Captain Ryan's eco tours, the Brazos and the Bosque can be experienced in a fun, family-friendly way like never before. And remember, whether you live in Waco or beyond, you can always be a tourist in your own town. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, shining the small business spotlight on Waco River Safari.
The Small Business Spotlight is presented by American Bank, with three convenient locations in Waco, including an expanded branch at the corner of Franklin and 4th Street. Catch the Small Business Spotlight video featuring Captain Ryan of Waco River Safari on wacobusinessnews.com. Miami, Los Angeles, New York, Toronto, Waco? Surprising or not, that's been the journey for a piece of art history now showing at Cultivate 712 for its month-long exhibition in the Austin Avenue Gallery. The work by street artist Banksy, titled Hate Street Rat, headlines a show co-curated by local contemporary artist Ty Nathan Clark.
I really don't know if people understand or can even grasp the gravitas of a Banksy being in a gallery space in the city of Waco. This is the first time that a Texas gallery has shown a Banksy piece. And the name Banksy is synonymous with the greatest artists in the history of mankind as a cultural phenomenon, as an influence, and somebody that even 100 years from now is going to have that ring to it as a Picasso, a Van Gogh, a Basquiat, an Andy Warhol.
Don't feel bad if you consider yourself an art buff but have no idea who Banksy is. That's kind of the point.
He is an anonymous English-based street artist who started out in the graffiti scene in England in the early 90s. And by the year 2000, he turned to the art of stenciling, where he made his name as one of the most influential and renowned street artists in history. Banksy keeps his identity hidden because he says often when you know the artist, you think that you also know the art. And that's one thing that he truly wants to keep a mystery.
In 2017, Ty was named one of the top 10 contemporary artists to watch in the city of Austin. When his financial realities began to clash with the city's rising cost of living, he and his wife moved to Waco, seeking more space for less money. The housing part was easy, but finding a cohesive community of artists, that's still a work in progress.
I would say that, you know, there's a very minimal environment for working artists in Waco right now. But I think this is something that is growing, and this is a very exciting time to be at the forefront of building, influencing, and putting a foundation in for working artists and the future of Waco. And I think right now, the only place for artists to truly be seen and have a place to share their voice and their artwork is the Cultivate 712 Gallery. And I think the Banksy piece arriving here just provides an even bigger platform for even neighboring cities and areas to start to put Waco on the art map.
The exhibition Writing on the Wall, which features the Hate Street Rat, is co-curated by Fiona Bond of Creative Waco, Rebecca Hagman of Cultivate 712, and Ty, who will be showing a few of his own pieces. The free show will run until September 29th. Visit cultivate712.com for more details. I'm now joined in studio by City Councilman Jim Holmes. Jim represents District 5 and is the newly minted Senior VP at First National Bank of Central Texas. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here this morning, Austin. I appreciate it. I'm a big fan of your show and happy to be here.
Tell me a little bit about your Waco history, Jim.
I was raised in Nebraska, in rural Nebraska, on a farm, and with eight brothers and sisters, so a farming family. Went to Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. Studied pre-law there and had the opportunity to come down to Baylor University Law School a long time ago in the early 80s there, and just came down here, loved it, went to law school for a couple of years. I decided to take a year off of law school to work at a bank and enjoyed the folks that I was working with at the bank, and that year turned into 3 years, turned into 5 years. I've not ever gone back to complete my degree, get my JD. And Brad Tobin, the dean over there, is kind of probably thankful that I haven't gone back there. But anyway.
You've probably earned an honorary degree.
Yeah, maybe. But no, I enjoyed the banking a lot. Worked at a local bank here in Waco, M Bank, it was called back in the 1980s. And in 1991, left the bank to join a small group of investors, six or eight of us, to start a commercial loan investment company. I don't want to make it too complex here, but we were buying loans from other banks, secured primarily by shopping centers, apartment complexes, office buildings, large commercial properties, and managing those and turning them around and creating a little business line there. We had early success. I mean, just got really lucky on a couple deals. Took that company public in 1995 and had like a 20-year run where we had, again, some good luck. We went it was originally just a Texas group. We went national and went international, had offices in Mexico, France, Japan, South America, all over the world. And it was a lot of fun, a bunch of good guys. We sold that company about 5 years ago, and I've been kind of working for that company for the last 5 years, and just recently have kind of focused my efforts not on international business, investment business, but on local, what's going on in Waco. And there's so much cool stuff going on in Waco. And I kind of put my name out to be a councilman a couple years ago and got appointed to that position in 2016. And I've really enjoyed my time on council. Good, strong group there with, I think you've had most of the guys on the show, with John and Kennard and Dylan Meek and Andrew Beerfield's new, just fantastic. And Kyle is a great mayor, a fun guy to work with. So the council work I'm doing is very rewarding. It's a fun time to be in Waco.
What kind of civic engagement had you participated in prior to city council? I know often people will spend time on the TIF board or MPO. I know that you were involved in that a little bit.
Because the First City was the name of the group that we took public and ran for 20 years. And the requirements, we'd be gone for weeks at a time to on the road working. So it was hard to engage in on boards and commissions, local boards and commissions. I did most of my work in Waco through really supporting groups monetarily. And I guess I was part of the Waco Symphony. I'm a big fan of the symphony there. Local church here in St. Louis. And my wife through, she had a little more time in Waco than I did. She was very active in chamber. And I was a member of the Chamber of Commerce too on the board of directors there. But between my wife and I, there's what we've supported financially. I think there's quite a few deals in Waco that we were supporting.
You have been moving a lot this summer.
I'm suffering from overexposure, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you spent a lot of time on a river this summer. Tell us a little bit about your journey along the Mississippi and the goal to raise awareness and money for the Doris Miller Memorial.
Yeah, Austin, when I go on vacation, I like to kind of do different types of things. And I know, go to the mountain or the beach or whatever you do. But when I go on vacation, I like to do something kind of different. So I've had the opportunity to run with the Bulls in Pamplona, which was a blast. My son and I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro a couple of years ago, and that was a lot of fun. And in the back of my mind, I've always wanted to do something on the Mississippi River. And as a youngster, I built my younger brother, who's not quite a year younger than me, my Irish twin. We built a raft, and it wasn't on the Mississippi, but it was a tributary of the Mississippi where I grew up. We built a raft, and we spent about a week building it, got it out on the river, and it lasted about maybe 30 seconds. It just kind of came apart. It was not structurally sound, Austin. But so it's kind of a redemption for me to get back on the river and just doing a little bit of research on, has anybody ever jet skied down the entire length of the Mississippi River? And I couldn't really find online or on the internet where anybody had done it. We finally found one person that had done it like in two different segments from Minneapolis to St. Louis and St. Louis to New Orleans. But I said, if I can get a week off, we should be able to do this all at once, all the way from Minneapolis, St. Paul to New Orleans.
And that's the mouth of the Mississippi up there.
Yes. Yeah. Or the headwaters or whatever. It's a little bit above Minneapolis, but it gets where you have to get a canoe and stuff. It's wow. Shallow. St. Paul's basically the beginning of the Mississippi River. So as I started thinking about it logistically, it's about fuel. It's about, there's locks and dams up there.
Sure.
You have to get through time-wise and barges on the southern part of the lower Mississippi, they call it. There were just kind of natural challenges about doing. I can see why a lot of people didn't do it, because there's not only locks and dams, you have to wait like 3-4 hours to get through for the barges and the primary river traffic, and they're going to let some jokers in a jet ski get through. You're like, it's 10th in line. But anyway, just planning all that, and we figured let's give it a whirl. So as I was talking to people about it, not really just in talk at a party. I happened to be talking to Doreen Ravenscroft and Lisa Sheldon, who work with the Doris Miller Memorial, and they said, "Hey, Holmes, how about you do some of this for a charity, and try to raise money for the memorial?" And I'm a huge Doris Miller fan. I love the story of Doris Miller and everything he did for Waco and the military, and I could go on. We could do a whole show on my passion for Doris Miller and Dory Miller. We're very close to getting, or Doreen is very close to getting in the final stages of finishing that memorial. And I don't know if you've been over there, but the bronze is up. It's about two
beautiful
times. Yeah, it is. It's fantastic. And just where it is right there on the river, it's just amazing. And the work on the main part where the ship's hull and sort of a promenade there on the side of the river there is also kind of coming together too on that concrete area. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah, I mean, whatever I can do to help the cause, let's get this going. So Doreen kind of got us going. I think she called us the Mighty Mississippi River Adventure, and so we tried to raise funds for not only raising funds to try to finish the project, but just bring it back into the community consciousness and the community conversation of, you know, we're almost done here. It's about a $2.5 million project, and it seems like it's close, but we're still, you know, 800,000-900,000 away from getting it completed.
After the trip, that's still the shortfall.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we're trying to, I know Doreen, if you ever have Doreen on, she has more information on this, but they're trying to get at least get the main part, get the bronze moved over to the main concrete place there, or memorial place by Pearl Harbor Day this year.
What were some of the memorable conversations that you had throughout this trip? I'm sure people see you on the water and they're wondering, what's this crazy guy doing on a jet ski?
Yeah, it was fun to talk to folks on the way, and you'd always have the opportunity at these locks. There was a lock master, they called them, because they would open up the locks. It's just like a canal, or I don't know if you're familiar with how they work, but they're a long, narrow water basin, and they open one end, let you in, and then one end's closed. They let it fill up or drop, I guess, as we go downhill, down river. And let you out. But as you're in there, the lock master will always kind of say, hey, what's going on? Just kind of talk for a while. And yeah, we shocked a few people because most people will just like jet ski within like a 2 mile area of the vicinity. But when we told them we were going the whole way, you know, yeah, we got a lot of are you crazy kind of deals. But just talking to the lock masters was fun. And talking to people as you fill up with fuel, because the big logistical challenge on this was the fuel, stopping and getting the fuel, getting off the river, because a gas tank full of, in a jet ski will only go, it's only about 16 gallons. You can get 4 miles to the gallon. It only lasts about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And so you're having to get over and fill up. So our rig was almost 80 foot long with the truck and the trailer and the jet skis and the fuel tanks. And so whenever we would pull up, we would take, you know, people would say, what's going on here? And so you get to a lot of local folks kind of engaged, and you tell them, you know, we were heading to New Orleans. You talk about Dory Miller, and we got a lot of spontaneous people that just said, hey, you know, how can I contribute? You know, here's $20.
Wow.
So it was fun. And we were able to hand out these dories along the way too, to interested parties.
I know that you could spend a long time talking about Doris Miller and his story and that impact on you, but give our listeners just a brief explanation for why Dory's story means so much.
Just on several levels, Austin. First of all, he was a military hero, he enlisted in the Navy in the World War II. And so to me, his story isn't just about Doris Miller, but it's about it, and the memorial in particular, it's for not just Doris, but it's for all people who served in the military. Second, you know, he gave his life in the World War II. He did the Pearl Harbor event, which I'll talk about in a second. And then a couple years later, he was on another ship in the Pacific and it was torpedoed by the enemy, and he perished. So, you know, that he gave his life for his country, I think, is just a huge thing. And I think it's important that we, again, not only honor Dory Miller, but anybody. And I think everybody, I think, has a brother or sister or cousin or a uncle or something that served in the military and probably knows somebody who, you know, perished in the military in combat. So I think it's important that we remember these people, and it's a good place to do it. Third, and the kind of the story that jumps out when you're talking about Doris Miller is his time in service in the Navy in World War II, and specifically on Pearl Harbor Day. At that time, there was segregation in the military, where African Americans could only work their way up to a certain level. They couldn't have ammunition or arms, so a lot of them in Dory had worked his way up to, I think, third class mess guy in the kitchen. That's all he could do because of the segregation laws back then or customs. that day in Pearl Harbor, when they were getting attacked by the enemy planes, he came up out of the kitchen, got on deck, saved his captain or drug his captain to safety, who had been wounded severely, mortally, eventually. And he got behind anti-aircraft guns and started shooting down enemy planes. Again, not trained to run these anti-aircraft machine guns. But out of instinct, out of the right thing to do, he got up there and was a war hero. He was later recognized for his heroism and bravery by getting the Navy Cross. And when that all happened, people started having the dialogue of, you know, why do we have these segregation standards in the military when clearly Dory Miller has shown that, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So shortly thereafter, within the 40s and 50s, there was a level of desegregation, I'll say, in the military. At least it came into people's consciousness that, hey, this isn't right. Mm-hmm. And we like to say, I mean, because the whole, you know, Rosa Parks in Montgomery, Alabama occurred literally 10 years after that. And the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was, you know, 22 years after what Dory Miller did in 1942. So we like to think that he kind of, and scholars have had this, Ken Bader wrote a book about it, it's excellent, that really the seeds of the civil rights movement were kind of sowed by this whole action of Dory Miller in 1942. So, you know, there's that. I think Waco should be very proud of that, just on so many levels, of just the fact that the guy did the right thing. It really kind of got the civil rights movement. I won't say he was totally responsible for it, but he certainly was a contributor to the early movement. And then just the military in general, and again, for those who gave their lives. I think it'll be a great place to for families to go and reflect on the military service in general.
You're hearing from City Councilman Jim Holmes. He recently took a trip to raise money and awareness for the Doris Miller Memorial. Downtown Depot listeners, let's help them out. They're still a few dollars short, and we want to get this up and running by December 7th, 2018 for Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. DorisMillerMemorial.org. You can check that out and you can donate there. And Jim, it was so cool to see that you used your platform to bring awareness to this, and then other locals step up. We had the guys over at Brotherwell Brewing who put together this amazing Dory Fine American Lager.
Yeah, absolutely. These guys... and Bear Arms, there are Bear Arms Brewing over there. Justin Beach over there. I came up with the idea. We were going to do this anyway, have kind of a beer to drink, a summer beer, a light beer to drink on the way. And at the end of every evening, at the end of every day, we were going to celebrate.
So some of that 80-foot rig was designated.
That's right. Precious
for the Crowlers.
Precious cargo. So we had the idea. And then as we got this Dory Miller part kind of hooked in, I said, well, let's come up with a label and kind of a cool deal and see if we can catch some traction with the branding a little bit. And so I came up with a general label idea and took it over to the Bear Arms guys, and they brought it all to life. And they actually did I said I wanted an extremely light beer. I'm not big on, you know, heavy alcoholic content. I just want something that I can drink on the river at the end of the day in the heat. And so they actually came up with a special brew as well, a very light, kind of think about a very light beer and make it even lighter than that and then water that down. That's kind of what I like on a hot day. But they were kind enough to put together a brew and a special brew. And then I came up with this label, and they really brought it to life. And it's, as you can see here, it's really cool. And they put their little Bear Arms Brewery on the other side too. Justin Beach really brought it all to life there. He's a good guy.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that into the studio.
I can't wait to drink it. Yeah, especially for you. We're not drinking it right now.
I'll get you out of here on this. As a city councilman, you hear about the good and the bad that's happening in Waco. But it seems that every time I look into the paper, there's just something new and exciting that's happening in this town, whether it's new money being given for street improvements or it's updates on the city's strategic plan and how we take what we hear from the consultants and how that affects how we distribute these funds, or the riverfront development, another great, exciting thing that's happening. So give our listeners an idea of what we should expect at the end of the 2018 and what's on tap for Waco this coming year?
I think it's just awesome. It's such an exciting time to be on council and really be in Waco and be a part of what's going on here because the growth is cool and just the revitalization of downtown and again some of that the Magnolia effect that we're talking about has really brought a lot of people downtown. It kind of prompted City Council to be very proactive about how we get downtown tracked. And I think that we've done a pretty reasonably good job of trying to get the Magnolia visitors and to not only visit the silos, but come and visit all the different parts of Waco. Waco is such a beautiful city, naturally, and I've been lucky enough to be all around the world. And we've got the Cameron Park is such a beautiful feature. The riverfront is such a beautiful feature, and we've got hiking trails and biking trails and water sports opportunities all over the city. But in particular right now, infrastructure is a very big deal as Waco, again, grows, as we grow kind of westward, and as we kind of fill in the urban parts of the city as well. And I think infrastructure is a very important part, and you'll see that our 2018-2019 budget includes a pretty big figure for just making sure that our streets and roads and bridges in the city of Waco are all getting back up to snuff and getting attention that they haven't had in the past. And obviously the bigger projects that we have on the interstate, it's about a $300 million project that is going from 12th Street on up to the North Loop. We're all very focused on that as it will benefit the city long term, obviously. But, you know, we're very conscious of the challenges as it is being as it is in construction and how it could potentially, you know, we just want to make sure that TxDOT is being very upfront about how we reroute traffic and how we get all these tourists that have started coming to Waco and all these people that have moved to Waco, get them mobilized throughout the city without being hung up on I-35. And then just downtown. I mean, if you go, I would say 5 years ago versus now, even 3 years ago versus now, we were just on Austin last night walking up and down and had dinner at the Raleigh there. And there was a mural opening last night over there on University Parks. And just a lot of cool events happening all the time in downtown Waco. And as councilman, and I think very strong council. I mean, you've had most of the guys on the show here, and just a strong, progressive council that has a lot of business background, and I think has a pretty good idea on how to build thoughtfully and constructively for the long term benefit of the city.
Well, Councilman Holmes, we thank you for your service to our city, and I thank you for coming on Downtown Depot and telling us a little bit about it.
Austin, always a pleasure. I'd love to come down here anytime, and I appreciate everything you guys do for the city.
Thanks again to City Councilman Jim Holmes, Captain Ryan Helm of Waco River Safari, American Bank, and Ty Clark for the time this week. Two action points for you listeners out there. Visit DorisMillerMemorial.org. to donate and help them finish the construction before Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day on December 7th. You can even purchase a nameplate to literally become a part of the sculpture. Any amount helps. And please take advantage of Banksy being here in Waco. Let's show the state how Waco shows up. This exhibit is free, but there's tons of bars, restaurants, and retail spaces around the gallery to make an entire night out of it. Remember, as I often say here on the show, arts and culture spur economic activity. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.